Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? Then you've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Rebel Radio Podcast.
You motherfucker.
What? You said it was recording.
The countdown was going. You can't just take away my thunder.
Oh, okay. Man.
That is hilarious.
Matt, you're going to have to look at the mic if it's going to pick you up.
Yeah.
Let me move. You're good, man.
I have my notes.
Just get a little closer there. So you're bob, you know. So anyway, welcome to the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark, and across from me on the camera are two little fuck smacks.
This is Matt.
This is Long, the Predator.
Yes.
It doesn't sound right now.
Predatoring each other or something. I'm going to fucking make jokes all show now. So those that can't see, these little bitches, as everyone knows, for about the last year, we've been recording remotely. And, because of COVID, of course, and we're all vaccinated now. And I'm sitting here waiting for them to get online. They're pulling this funny little prank where Matt's over in the corner of Long's room just jerking off. And he could have been online the whole time. But no, they could have just come over my house and recorded. They have to hang out together. But whatever you guys do in secret, that's okay. You know,
I sense probably jealousy.
Just play with Godzilla toys or something.
No, don't be jealous.
It was
Godzilla versus Transformers.
I've honestly had a rotten vacation, to be honest. So I've been in
really. Why is that?
Yeah, it's just the trip was stressful.
Yeah,
it was just not good. My brother was in a mood on the trip, and a lot more to it than that. It just was not fun. And then I've had some car issues and other things. The kids have been driving me up a wall. I've had a rotten week.
Are they out of school right now?
Oh yeah, school's out. But
oh yeah.
So I
out for summer.
It has not been the relaxing week a vacation should be. I feel very stressed out, and I have 2 days left till I go back to work, and I feel like I already need another vacation. So that's just how it's been.
Yeah, I hate that feeling.
A vacation from the vacation.
But
my trip wasn't that great either. I slept on a root. We went camping in
that's no one's fault but your own for putting the tent there.
I mean, really, a tree root?
True. A tree root. Yep. I forgot the air compressor for the air mattresses, so we're all sleeping on what blankets I had because I had some spare blankets. Kids were fine.
Man, I thought you're good at blowing.
Oh damn! It's only supposed to be Mark, man. It's not supposed to be one versus two. It's supposed to be, you know.
Yeah, I couldn't resist.
I know. But yeah. Otherwise, it was a cool trip. You know, we got rained on. Thought it was going to be worse, but got rained on in Navasota.
With that said, having a rotten week, you know, it would have been nice to have seen your ugly faces. But no, y'all just want to hang out with each other. It's fine. It's fine. You know.
Never asked.
I didn't know y'all were going to... Wait. I'm not supposed to ask. Obviously, you can say, hey, let's hang out. Now I don't even want to. I don't even care if I see y'all until Compolism. You know, I don't even care.
We'll still have to get together for the Misfit Toys
one. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Misfit Toys.
Yeah, I got to figure out time to do that.
Yeah.
So... we'll see. All right. Well, now that's out of the way, I'm going to be a little bitter this whole show now. I'm just going to go ahead and say that. And try to be positive. So let's officially start the show then, I guess, with Download This, where we tell people what we watched, streamed, played this week. And I'm going to go first because I have a bone to pick with Matt. I watched Raya and the Last Dragon. Matt, it's nowhere close to Moana. What were you thinking? Moana's 100 times better in that movie. Were you smoking crack the night you watched it? It was boring for the most part. The kids liked it. I found it boring. It was very predictable. It's nicely animated. No, you're wrong. I hated how it was like ancient times, but yet it had modern stuff in it. That was so weird. It threw off the story for me.
You mean modern lingo?
Yeah, it had like modern lingo and modern device mentions and things like that that just threw it off for me. It was awkward. I didn't connect really with any of the characters like you did with Moana or the characters around her. When you compared it to Moana, you gave it high expectations. It wasn't even close, you know, to that for me. So I don't know. Maybe you saw it differently, but it was okay. I think maybe Disney realized it wasn't as good as it could have been, and that's why they put it, you know, on premium access instead of putting it in theaters, because they maybe knew it wasn't going to be well received. That's the way I viewed it anyway, you know. It didn't jive with me, you know. Like I said, it was nicely animated. That was about it. I found the dragon more annoying than funny. You know, that's another thing. Like, a good Disney movie makes you laugh a little bit, but also sometimes tugs at your heartstrings. And, like, none of the jokes in this clicked on me. It just wasn't a very funny movie. That's just my thoughts on it, man.
Well, for me, it's a different experience. I liked it a lot, mainly because I definitely saw more of the Southeast Asian influences on there, growing up in that culture, of course. I saw some Vietnamese influences and Thai influences and Filipino influences. The big plus for me for this movie is that there's no singing and dancing, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I do like some of the stakes in it. And yeah, it took me out a little bit when it came to some of the more modern lingo that they were talking, the way they were talking. But for me personally, I liked it. I probably give it a B, you know, a B plus.
But you agree, it's not Moana level. That's a better movie.
Yeah, Moana is good, but I'm not. I don't hate this movie as much as you did. The thing I didn't like, I could tell you, is the baby and the monkeys. I didn't like them.
Yeah, that was weird.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say I hate it. I don't know. I didn't like as much as some of the other recent Disney stuff. You know,
I like the big thug looking guy.
Oh, he was cool.
He was cool. And I also liked the boy who was in charge of the restaurant boat.
Mm-hmm.
And man, that reminds me of so many times where I've seen restaurant boats like that too. Some of the food are so good. You wouldn't think that they cook good food in such a small setting like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the plotting, I don't know. I like the plotting. I do like the whole...
Well, the story wasn't terrible, but you have to admit it was kind of predictable.
Yeah, it was. It was a little predictable. Not really. I mean,
I didn't know the dragon was going to, you know. Well, you know.
I like how they centered around the whole trust issue thing, and that was a big impetus.
Yeah.
And,
well, I meant predictable as like her dad coming back. I mean, you saw it.
Oh, well, yeah. That, yeah. Well, it's Disney. They have to have a happy ending.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So,
but, yeah.
But I have to say, though, as far as animated martial arts, I think Kung Fu Panda is still better as far as the Kung Fu martial arts.
Kung Fu Panda was awesome.
Kung Fu Panda 2 is the pinnacle.
Sword fight in Raya was good.
Yeah. Yeah, the sword fight was good. I do like that epic shot where she was walking towards the temple at the end.
Yeah, it's very well animated, yes. Yeah. I'll give it that.
Yeah, but I like the movie, yeah, personally.
It might be one of those that has to watch it a couple times to grow me some.
Yeah.
Other than that, I haven't watched the second episode, but I did watch the first episode of Loki.
What'd you think?
Pretty good. They introduced a lot of elements that could... could play a part going forward, you know. Obviously, with the multiverses and time changes and things like that, I thought it was kind of funny that they were. I thought the shot about Infinity Stones. Oh, we use those as paperweights. It's like, wait, what? It's like,
yeah,
it's kind of 10 years out the window. Like, oh, those aren't that big a deal.
For real.
The world building's great.
Yes, it builds a lot in one episode that could possibly be quite a bit of hints as to what's going to happen over the next 10 years of Marvel films, you know? Just little subtle things. And, you know, Tom Hiddleston is just continues to just own the role so well, you know? I think sometimes he doesn't get enough credit. People focus so much on RDJ and Chris Evans and the other ones that sometimes as a villain, he kind of got put in the background, but he just absolutely owns the character of Loki and does a good job with it, you know? I can't imagine someone else playing him, you know, at this point, because he's done such a good job. On
but Matt Damon. Uh-oh. Matt Damon.
What?
He could play Loki.
Oh, from Thor, from Ragnarok. Oh, well, I mean, that's his character's name in Dogma, Loki.
That's true.
So
he's still not Tom Hiddleston.
I know. No. I know.
He's Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
Anywho, but I didn't get a chance to watch the second episode yet. But I plan on it, obviously. And that's about it. And I think that's all I really watched was Raya and then Loki, episode one.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. Loki, episode two, I thought was good. Kept the momentum going. But that's all I'll touch on. It's only, what? Four more episodes after this,
yeah.
So,
yeah.
What did you think of episode two?
I like the second episode. I feel like, you know, we got a bombshell on episode two, and I feel like the other, you know, Marvel shows episode shows didn't give us that, and that we had to wait a little bit longer. Here, I feel like we're, you know, almost at the climax or at a climactic point in the movie, like maybe a mini climax. So I'm excited for next week, you know, and what's going to happen. Episode three.
Yeah. Check what I got in the mail. I got the, Godzilla versus Kong, art book, movie art book. Mm-hmm. I also have an art book for Godzilla, King of the Monsters and Godzilla 2014. I don't have one for Skull Island. I need to get that one. And cool. I watched Godzilla versus Kong this time again, but this time with the Adam Wingard commentary. Got some interesting facts.
Man, I have a thing about paying for over $20 for a Blu-ray. And like Amazon, yeah. Target, everywhere is $25. I'm like, yeah, I got to wait till it goes down a little bit.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. For me, no. Can't wait. Well, you know why. I'm a fanatic.
Yeah, when you're a fanatic, you got to have it right then.
Yeah, that's it for my download this. Oh, wait, I did play Police Simulator.
Oh, yeah.
I showed Matt a little bit of the Police Simulator on PC.
I'm sure you showed Matt a lot of things where we're hanging out.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, keep going. Keep talking.
I will all fucking show.
So butthurt. But anyways, yeah, that's pretty in-depth, writing tickets to people and all that stuff.
Giving people DUI tests.
Yeah. and then started playing Final Fantasy XIV online again. And yeah, that's about it. That's my download this. You're up, Matt.
Yeah, so of course... Loki episode two, we talked about that. Vudu had some sales, and you know, Mark, you mentioned the $25 sale for Lord of the Rings trilogy, and I have the extended editions, but my Return of the King has like a small scratch on it,
right?
I don't know where it came from, and sometimes it acts up.
Yeah, I haven't bought them yet, but I'm going to because they're still on sale, and I'm the same way. I have them on DVD, but you have to switch the disc, right? It'd be nice to be able to watch them seamlessly, and it's in 4K, which the DVDs obviously aren't.
Yeah, so I went ahead and bought it, and I watched the first two episodes. I watched our first two movies, and they look great.
Of what?
Of Lord of the Rings.
I mean, that's 12 hours right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Extended?
Extended.
Okay.
Yeah. And, man, they were fun. The kids came in and watched some of it. And they love it, so I'm probably gonna have to restart it, and so that they can see the beginning. But got started on that, If you're interested, Vudu, it's $25, man. You can get either the regular or the extended.
Well, like the Blu-ray and the 4K versions are still $60 to $80 for the set. So $25 for the digital copies is not a bad deal at all.
No, not at all. I also took advantage of some other sales on Vudu. I bought The Sandlot and I had the boys watch The Sandlot. So they hadn't watched it yet. And I'm like, they got to watch The Sandlot at some point. So we watched The Sandlot. Bronx Tale was on sale, so I watched a Bronx Tale. And
Bronx Tale with Robert De Niro?
Yeah, with De Niro. Oh,
yeah. Chaz Palminteri.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good movie.
And Jackie saw that Four Brothers was on sale, and she loves Marky Mark. So, you know, we did Four Brothers, which I actually... That movie, it's entertaining to me,
but it's
not a movie I would buy and say, I got to own it.
It's always on Netflix or Prime to watch for free.
Yeah.
It's like, why? Sometimes I think about those movies that are on sale. I'm like, if I really want to watch this, it's usually always streaming somewhere.
Yeah. But yeah, I got it for her because she's a big Marky Mark fan. So I had to get her the Marky Mark movie.
I'm sorry for her.
Yeah. I was like, well, you know, you got Sofia Vergara in the movie, so I guess it's a wash, you know.
A waste of a rated R rating, if you ask me.
And an indie Crystal Skull was the last thing I watched. And I hadn't seen it. That's something really? I haven't told you. I've never seen indie Crystal. Nope.
Wow.
I think I started watching it one time, and for some reason I had to turn it off or stop watching it, and I never picked it back up, so... last year they had a sale for all four movies. I guess when they announced Indy 5, Vudu had the four disc, the four set.
Yeah.
And so I was like, man, I got to watch this. And I was like, it felt like an indie movie. I like how
it's
they
not
kept
as bad as people make it out to be.
It's not.
It is the weakest of the four, but it's still not as bad as people make it out to be. It really isn't.
Yeah, I think it still captures what an indie movie should be, the adventure. I feel like it starts out pretty cool.
You know what I mean? I was thinking about the other day because it was – everyone wants to complain about Shia LaBeouf in the movie. Actually, he doesn't bother me. You know who bothers me the most in the movie? Is they tried to turn Ray Winstone's character into this sidekick of Indy's who betrays him. And I really don't like his character at all in the movie. He probably knows more than anything else, you know?
Yeah.
And, but yeah, it's really not as bad as people make it out to be.
No, it's not. but yeah, that was it for me. I didn't get to play many games because the kids have been playing, so I didn't get to get any farther on Resident Evil 7 or anything. I played a little bit of Star Wars because the kids wanted to duel it out one-on-one. And but that was about it.
Cool. How would you rate the Crystal Skull?
I agree with Mark. It's the weakest of the four, but I feel like it's still like, you know, solid B, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark, obviously. Yeah. Raiders is an A. So if I'm grading it against Raiders, it's, you know, B, somewhere in the B range.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, well, cool. Let's get today's featured film then. A very popular science fiction film from 1987, directed by John McTiernan. I didn't realize that McTiernan had only done 12 movies when I was doing research for this. It's just you've heard the name.
Interesting.
You know, with Die Hard and this, and you just thought he had done more, but he had only done 12 films. And because he's kind of semi-retired now, even though his name always pops up, I've noticed, and possible directors for different projects. But that is the Arnold Schwarzenegger starring Predator from 1987. And I will allow Matt, I guess, to summarize this since, you know, I don't want to take away from his man crush he has on Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It's a pretty simple plot, really. So you have a, you know, some intelligence that needs to be gathered from these gorillas in South America, and Carl Weathers gets Arnold Schwarzenegger and his crew over to perform recon and, you know, perform a rescue mission. when really it's to eliminate these guys. And he knew Arnold was the only person that could do it. So of course they get Arnold, they get Jesse Ventura, and just between the two of them, you know, and even Carl Weathers. So Carl Weathers in there, you got all the balls in the world and all the biceps in the world right there. But then they tack on Mac, who was also in, I never get the character's name, but you know, I can, the actual actor's name, but Mac, who was in Commando.
Bill Duke.
Bill Duke. You got Shane Black in here, who of course did some writing on the script. And they go out there, they kick some ass, and you get some cool you get some cool one-liners from Arnold here and there, and some cool quotes from Jesse. But anyways, on their way back from defeating these guys, Carl Weathers' character getting the information he needs and taking one girl, one refugee hostage, or to question, when they get back, they get attacked and intercepted by this predator. And this predator just chops him up, and you know, it's Arnold alone after he takes out all the rest. And Arnold's got to coat himself in glistening mud to intercept his heat vision. And he takes him out and finally gets to the chopper, you know, and that's it. You know, it's fairly simple.
God, Matt, like watching you on camera, I felt like you were trying to flex your biceps and get a hard on describing this movie.
I feel pumped just talking about it. I feel like, you know, there's the nitric oxide's just going to my muscles. You know, I feel like I need a cigar and,
you know,
nice stogie. It's funny because talking about this movie,
rewatching, it's been a while since I've seen this. You know, I mean, obviously I've seen it. I almost wasn't going to rewatch it because I've seen enough, but I went ahead and rewatched it this week, and it holds up pretty well. Shane Black's character is pretty annoying. I didn't realize how I forgot how annoying he kind of is.
Trying to get Chief to laugh all the time.
Yeah, I kind of started thinking though, without Arnold, does this movie work? I wonder if someone else has starred in this, you know, because it's just like he was a huge star at this time, coming off of Terminator and some of his other films. And I wonder, like, the rest of the cast,
Running Man,
Carl Weathers is probably the only other character that's interesting at all. You know, the rest of them are just kind of fodder for the Predator to take out in a lot of ways. And but somehow this movie found an audience and has become a sci-fi classic. But like you said, it's a really simple premise. But, you know, that's amazing thing about sometimes movies, the most simple of movies become the biggest hits, you know.
I mean, most recent, 96 million worldwide.
Yeah. Which was a lot of money for back then. But this is a very well-paced, quick action sci-fi film that does so much to work right. But you can't help but ask the question, would it have worked with a different actor than Arnold, you know? But
I don't think it's, yeah.
Like, I mean, now it may have not worked. You know, a lot of people forget, you know, they tried to put Jean-Claude Van Damme in a suit and have him play the Predator originally. And his suit didn't work right. It didn't look right on screen. Of course, they ended up scrapping that whole idea and brought Stan Winston in, and they created the Predator costume that we got in the movie. And thank God, because if you've ever seen screenshots of the Van Damme Predator costume, it's pretty weird looking.
It was so hot. That was the problem. It was so hot, and the suit was so big.
It was hot.
Claude, they hired him because he was so agile, but he couldn't stand the suit.
He couldn't stand the suit. Him and Arnold didn't get along at all. You know, so he wasn't getting along with anyone on set. And Van Damme is notoriously known for being very difficult to work with. Apparently, Jesse Ventura, Arnold, nobody liked him. So that just wasn't working. I mean, they shot almost 6 weeks of footage with this suit and everything. It didn't work, and they had to go back and reshoot a lot of that. So this,
they were running low on cash.
Already was over budget. But yet it came together nicely in the end.
Somehow
it worked.
Yeah, when Stan Winston was tasked to design the creature, he was designing the creature, had all the dreads, muscles, all that stuff, and James Cameron was sitting next to him, and James Cameron said, "Why don't you add mandibles to the alien?"
Yep.
And Stan Winston's like, "I don't need no mandibles." And then he added mandibles anyways. Yeah. It's like, okay, he's right.
Yeah, Cameron was like, I've always wanted to see a creature with mandibles.
Yeah.
And he's like, ended up doing it. And it worked out just fine.
Yeah. Yeah, he kind of brushed him off, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Stan brushed off Jim. But, man, James Cameron's also a really good artist, storyboard artist, too. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, don't doubt him, that's for sure. I can't imagine the Predator without those.
No, it's become such an iconic look now. I mean, you think Predator, you know what one looks like, and it's freaking badass. I mean, it's one of the most notable iconic science fiction creatures of all time now. And you're talking a movie that's just what, 30 years old?
No, it's almost 40? It's almost as old as I am. It's 87.
Yeah,
so I was born in 86, so 34.
34, 35 years old. Yeah. And it's become such an iconic. I mean, we've been to Comic Cons where we've seen people cosplaying of Predator, multiple comic books, video games, action figures.
Fortnite has freaking down DLC for Predator stuff.
I mean, he's been in one of the Mortal Kombat games or something. There's been Predator.
Yes.
I mean, it's just and that's how iconic this character has become. It's just because of this movie about some soldiers going into a like you said, to get at these terrorists, and they end up running into this guy is there hunting for sport, with some really cutting edge, quite cutting edge special effects for 1987, using animations and stuff to make it look like the lights bending around the trees to animate the Predator. They used animation also for the color spectrums, I believe, if I read right, and stuff to give the Predator the way he saw things. And then they built
and it got better towards the end because they found better technology.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I mean, there's some really cool moments. Like I think whenever they're sitting watching the Predator in the tree and they see him and all of everything, they're like, there it is, you know, and it's really cool looking for the first time you ever watch it.
Man, freaking Matt gets shot through the chest. Oh, dude.
Oh, it's an old ultraviolet film too.
Yes. Yeah.
1987 seemed to be the year of ultraviolet movies. This came out, RoboCop came out, and they were pretty violent even for their time. I mean, there had been violent movies, but this had like guts coming out and blood sporting on the cameras, and I mean, when Jesse Ventura gets shot through the chest, there's blood all over the place, you know. Predator takes skins and skin people alive.
Shane Black's character has to fish the dog tags out of intestines and tosses them at Arnold. And that's when Arnold's like, I knew these soldiers. They're from Fort Bragg. What were they doing here? You know, he's fishing them out of intestines. They're just like right there.
No, the movie definitely does not hold back on the blood and gore. And I saw this. I was relatively young the first time I saw this, you know, because I was about 11 when it came out. I probably saw it, you know, pretty soon, a year later. When Die Hard was 88, and I know Die Hard was like the first R-rated movie I saw. I probably saw this around the same time as that, maybe a year or two after it came out. And I remember being 13, 14 years old thinking, wow, this is really gory. Am I supposed to be watching this? You know? It's like, Matt. Well, long, you're a little older, Matt. When did you first see this?
I actually first saw it on television, and I didn't see it in the theaters. Didn't even know about it, but I do remember seeing a poster of it somewhere in some random friend's bedroom, and I was like, oh, that's a pretty cool poster. Yeah, but anyways, finally saw the movie like when I was like 10 or something. 10 or 11 years old, it was showing on like those special ABC at the movies type of Saturday specials that they would show on TV. They used to show major movies on television, on network television. And I think I saw it on Fox at one point, but yeah, I thought it was a really cool movie. And I really liked how, you know, that Arnold forced the Predator to fight on his level instead of relying on, you know, Uber technology to outwit the alien creature. So,
which was voiced by Peter Cullen.
Interesting. Yep. Oh, really?
Henry and
I did not know that.
Harry and the Hendersons.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a classic for sure. And I remember seeing Predator 2 being advertised. And I was like, this was in high school. And I'm like, I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's up there. Just based on the trailers, you know? So, but yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed the Predator. I love the jungle setting. I just love the kind of like Arnold being the final girl type of deal. So the chick is hot too.
Yeah. Yeah, she is. Even though she don't speak, you know, she don't speak it in English, but we all understand the language of love, you know? So Arnold probably, you know, was like, all right, you know what we got to do now when he got back.
Well, and as you know, there was a lot of testosterone in this movie. You know, Arnold and Jesse would fight over whose arms were bigger. And to the point where Arnold had the hairdresser or makeup, whoever it was, wardrobe, tell Jesse that, oh, yeah, we measured your arms and yours are bigger, all because of a bet he made with Arnold. Like, whoever arms are bigger has to buy champagne. So Arnold went and told the hairdresser, he's like, hey, tell him his arms are bigger. And when they went to actually measure it, Arnold's were bigger, so Jesse owed him a bottle of champagne. So imagine being guys like Carl Weathers and Jesse Ventura, Arnold Schwarzenegger. There's probably a lot of machismo going on the set of this movie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jesse being a Navy SEAL himself, and then, of course, the wrestler aspect where he just is a professional of talking crap, you know, he just really hams it up. His ego is probably the most entertaining thing about him.
I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus.
they won't take the tobacco. This will make you a damn sexual Tyrannosaurus, just like me.
That's what he says.
Well, Carl Weathers claims that Arnold got him addicted to cigars making this movie.
For real?
Yeah. And, of course, there's the epic handshake at the beginning of them two.
Yes.
Dylan, you son of a bitch. And just created a lot of YouTube videos over the years. And recreated by us in a Rebel Radio promo video that we did on YouTube.
We did. Do that.
Yes. We recreated the epic handshake, which can be still found.
Carl Weathers is such a good actor. I'd say he's Carl Weathers.
He's the best one in the bunch.
Man, he's so charismatic. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, Apollo Creed, man.
For real, man.
Yeah. And he's such a nuanced actor in this. He's hiding something, but he won't be so forthcoming. But he tries to help the team at the same time, you know. So had a little redemption arc going.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You guys have a favorite scene in this movie?
My favorite scene is the scene where Duke picks up the minigun. And the whole team comes along and mows down the entire force.
Yeah.
That's my favorite scene. I don't know why.
Where they're like, and they're just like hail fire, you know, through the entire forest.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite scenes for sure. And the final scene, of course, the final, you know, primitive versus technologically superior being. Good underdog. Climax, you know,
that's what I like. I like when Arnold covers himself in mud and makes the Predator jump through all his booby traps. You know, I just think it's cool. He defeats him with his bare hands, essentially.
Basically, yeah. And then, those kind of same scenes for me. Those kind of same scenes. I always thought the shootout was cool too, where they just all try to unload on this thing, saying, you know what, we're going to try to beat you somehow, you son of a bitch. And unload in the jungle. And then, of course, the ending scene's iconic. When did you watch this? Was it one of your first Arnold movies?
My first Arnold movie was definitely T2. But I saw this probably not long after. You know, cause T2 got me, you know, was my gateway drug into Arnold. And, this one was probably whenever I was 12, 13. And I saw it on TV like long, didn't see the actual R rated version till I was like, you know, 18, 19, 20, most likely. Whenever I started buying Arnold DVDs, got a job and, you know, didn't have to worry about my mom saying, ah, that movie looks ugly and horrendous. I'm not buying you that.
Ugly and horrendous.
Yeah, if it looked too violent, she'd be like, my dad wouldn't care. If my dad went out and I, you know, get him to agree to buy something, he'd be like, all right. My dad showed me RoboCop when I was 6. So that's that opposite ends of the spectrum there.
I still haven't rewatched that movie yet.
For real?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's been almost 15 years since I've watched that movie.
Wow.
Yeah, this is definitely a man-filled, testosterone-filled Arnold movie, though. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yes, this movie's all about ass-kicking and trying to survive. And, yeah, and it still holds up well, you know, 34 years later. It has the famous get to the chopper line in it, you know, which is one of Arnold's favorite lines, probably because of all the memes over the years, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I just watched this, and like we did Predator 2 on the show already, and you know, I enjoy Predator 2, but watching this, just I just still see how we never got that proper sequel, man, with Arnold. You know,
well, in the mid-90s, Predators was supposed to be a direct sequel to the first Predator.
Right.
And, you know, it never happened. I forget why.
Well,
but then the original they tried to make...
Well, they mentioned the original movie in Predators.
Yeah.
They referred to it like, yeah, there were some guys. It's like one of those throwaway lines like, yeah, I remember somebody running into these things in the jungle years ago. I mean, they do mention the movie in Predators.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I have the Blu-ray set with all three, with the first three films in it. Even though I rewatched this on Hulu just because it was more convenient just to stream it than to get the Blu-ray out, put it in, you know. And
yeah.
So I watched it on Hulu. And actually, I think Hulu broadcast it in 4K, so it looked pretty good on there.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I know the Blu-ray version that came out was kind of – some people thought it came out a little grainy, the Blu-ray version. Well,
the early Blu-rays, but they've – this movie's been re-released on Blu-ray now like 2 or 3 times. And for the most recent disc, I think it's pretty good from what I understand. So, yeah. But – But yeah, I give this movie an easy, solid A, you know.
Easy A.
Yeah, A plus. A plus, plus,
A plus, 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 plus.
I think the only thing keeping me from giving an A plus is the beginning where they're going into the soldiers and stuff. It slows it down a little bit for me. And then once you get to the Predator scene, it moves quick.
Yeah, I thought Arnold's one-liner redeemed it. Stick around. When he knifed that soldier against the door or wall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I guess so. But Predator. All-time classic. A movie we've been trying to do for a bit now and finally worked it in. And, man, we gave
Matt good timing.
Two Arnold movies in the last, like, 12 weeks. True Lies and Predator. No more Arnold the rest of the year.
Darn it.
I think we ran through all the good Arnold movies.
Maybe.
There's not much left. I
mean, not much left. Except for Conan.
Conan. Eraser, maybe?
Yeah. Even it's
okay.
Kindergarten it's Cop.
Kindergarten Cop. Oh, yeah. Twins. Kindergarten Cop.
Yeah. Jingle All the Way.
We've got to do Jingle All the Way one Christmas. That's so hilarious.
On that note,
I haven't watched it in 20 years.
Jingle?
Almost, because I used to work for Suncoast.
Yeah.
In the mall, and they would play that almost every day. I don't know why, and it drove me nuts. So I haven't watched it in a while. Because of that.
It's one of those movies that if you don't watch it every year and accept its silliness, that you try to rewatch, you'll probably think that's a stupid. You know, it's kind of like Christmas Vacation. People that don't watch Christmas Vacation every year, they don't appreciate it. You know,
nope.
It's like they think it's dumb. You have to appreciate that movie by watching it every year, sometimes twice.
I watch it for the swimming pool scene.
Yeah,
which unfortunately, a quick side note: the original version of Christmas Vacation was actually going to be a bit rated R, like the original Vacation movie, and there was going to be more to that scene. But the studio wanted to sell it as a Christmas movie, so they had to tone that down a little bit.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yes. So we didn't get the full-on vacation experience on that scene. But anyway, that brings us to this week's top five. And we didn't talk enough during the preview of this or the review of this movie. That Waverly, that Stan Winston created the creature for this movie, and quite a phenomenal creature it is. And he is known for doing a lot of great special effects works over the years of his career before his death. I mean, he's responsible for. Man, when I made this list, is so easy to make, but at the same time, like any of these could be number one. That's just how great this guy is at what he did.
Yeah,
it's amazing the things he brought to life on the big screen. And I went first last week, so I'll let one of you guys go first this week.
I'll go first. My number five is actually this is towards the end of Stan Winston's life, but he helped. Contributed with some of the creature designs for Avatar, and I don't know, I don't hate on Avatar like most people do, but I like that movie still.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. I mean, it's James Cameron. He's just
I watched it back around the holidays again, and man, I think it's great.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the sequels.
Yeah.
So that's my number five, Avatar.
Yeah, this movie, the movie that we're talking about today, Predator. I mean, there's so many that you can pick. He even did, I will honorable mention that I didn't realize he did Fat Bastard and Austin Powers.
Oh, did he?
He did. He also did the third.
He also did a lot of makeup effects too, yeah.
Yeah, and he did one of the Hellraiser films. He did the seventh Hellraiser film, but that's not an honorable mention because that movie sucked. But of course the makeup was on point because of Winston. But Predator, my number five.
At number five, I brought it in a piano. Thank you.
Thank you, Waverly, for that commentary.
That tidbit that she peed in her. Okay. At number five, I have Paramount Pictures and Marvel Studios, before they were Marvel Studios, brought him in to help put touches on the Iron Man suit. And from what I was reading, I don't think he created the whole thing that they were already working on, but he came in and helped perfect it to the version we got on film. So I got to give him credit, man, because that kicked off the Marvel Cinematic Universe. If Winston didn't come in and make the Iron Man suit better, we might not have what we have.
Fair. Yeah, Winston died in 2008, and Iron Man came out in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Such a huge loss. I was so sad when I heard him pass away.
I believe it was June 14th or June 13th in 2008. So we're almost on, just a little past the anniversary.
Yeah. My number four is Terminator. That was one of the scariest movie villains I've ever watched on screen. Something about a relentless killer coming after you no matter what you throw at him.
Yes.
Every time you think he's down, it's pretty much a mechanical Jason. So my number four is Terminator, the first one.
Your clothes, give them to me. Fuck you, asshole.
Is that Bill Paxton?
Bill Paxton.
Oh, yeah.
Number four for me is Aliens. I mean, he did the Queen Alien, and that was pretty friggin' epic.
I have that number four also. I have Aliens also.
Yeah, man.
And we've talked about this before on the show. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Matt, but.
No, yeah, go for it.
Me and Long have talked about this. Aliens is such an incredible creation. It's like that franchise should have epic films out by now, like Star Wars. We should have several Alien films in the huge saga, but unfortunately, Ridley Scott could be a dick about it. Some of the things, the way the studio have handled, we don't, unfortunately. But Aliens is one of the greatest science fiction films ever made. And Winston helped create that creature at the end of the film, and it's incredible.
Yeah. So we're going to number three.
Yep.
Number three is The Predator, and yeah, we've said enough. Moving on.
Number three for me is Jurassic Park. I mean, that was pretty. We hadn't seen dinosaurs, you know, up until 1993, and man, you know, those animatronics and the effects that they had were just awesome and unforgettable.
And there's something about those dinosaurs. You can tell that it's like, hey, there's definitely a Stan Winston touch to the way the dinosaurs look too.
Yeah.
Especially the T-Rex, you know, I mean, his character designs, there's, you get sense of personality in all of his designs, you know, even dinosaurs, you know, they could come off as generic, but when Stan Winston has his artistic interpretation on it, they have a personality, you know, so that's what I like about the
number three. I also have Predator. Just say an iconic creature. There's no doubt about it. Like I said, we said a lot about him already, just the way he looks. They've made him a little more vicious, a little more, you know, gave him some new weapons and new looks with the other Predator films, but it all started with Stan Winston's creation in this movie.
It was definitely a big improvement over the original Predator design, which is like a big bird alien or something.
Well, I saw some clips of Jean-Claude running around in the red suit.
Yeah, that looks like a bird.
Yeah, and it's like the head's just like flopping, it's bobbing, and he had like the sword, the little short sword looking thing. So I don't think it would have been as successful.
Number two, we touched up on it, Jurassic Park.
Nice.
So that's my number two. What's your number two?
My number two is specifically in Terminator 2. The T-1000, I mean, the liquid metal, that was badass. That was a cool effect. And it's still,
that was Industrial Light Magic did that.
He did work on those effects. I don't know if he created it. I might have to look back.
I'm sure he worked the,
he's credited,
attack forms.
Yeah. He probably did the arms, the arms and the attack weapons.
ILM, so
yeah. But he, on IMDb, he's credited with work specific to the T-1000.
You heard of that YouTube channel Corridor Crew?
No.
They are special effects artists. They have their own channel. They also review special effects in other movies because they're special effects artists too. They said that the hardest special effect for them to recreate was the T-1000 walking through the jail bars.
Oh, wow.
That they had such, even with modern technology, they had a hard time recreating T-1000 walking through those jail bars. They just like, we struggled and struggled. It was like, even with, we had to have more powerful computers.
Well, yeah, that scene even today, 30 years later, looks awesome, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I have Jurassic Park at number two also. You know, being in high school, seeing that movie, it blew me away. Like a lot of us, highly impressed. I mean, still one of the, you know, the most realistic dinosaurs I ever put on the screen.
My number one, it's actually Aliens. It's really a good tweak over the H.R. Giger designs, and a very exciting movie. I don't know if he went in. No, that was Sid Mead who designed all the equipment and all that. Mm-hmm. But yeah. The Alien Queen and all that stuff. So that's my number one, Aliens.
My number one is Terminator, man. I mean, when he just starts peeling off his face, I mean, you can tell his face is fake at that point. And then he also is credited with the endoskeleton. And just seeing that thing, like, I mean, for 1984... seeing that thing claw its way towards Sarah Connor in the welding warehouse factory thing, it's like it flows like a horror film. You know, it's pretty terrifying, especially if you see it, you know, at a young age. So I thought that was pretty darn cool. Obviously, very influenced.
I have Terminator number one as well.
Yes.
There's no, you know, I mean, Winston's created so much stuff, but it's funny. Like I said, this list, I could almost have Aliens at number one or number two. I'm just looking at stuff that influenced me as to what I'm into. You know, obviously, I was highly influenced by watching Cameron's Aliens. I was highly influenced by watching Terminator. But Terminator is probably the most iconic thing he ever created. But you could even argue that because he's done so much. But I think a lot of people, maybe general people, if you say, what does Stan Winston create? They're probably either going to say Terminator or Jurassic Park. Those are probably going to be the two they remember a lot, you know, from. And because of Winston, we have these great, great characters and in these science fiction films. One of, if not the best science fiction or special effects artists of all time, you know, the great Stan Winston.
And he has his own school named after him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That was our top five best Stan Winston creations. Good stuff. Let's get into a little news then before we preview next week's movie and say Bon Voyage. Rick and Morty is finally coming back after a long wait for season four last year. Season five starts this Sunday. And they also announced that they are going to do a spinoff show called The Vindicators. I'm a big fan of Rick and Morty. I haven't watched all of season four, but I think the show is pretty freaking brilliant. So any of you other fans out there, it starts back up this Sunday with season five, which will have already aired by the time y'all hear this. But anyway, that's not the point. It's still news, damn it. And you guys don't watch Rick and Morty, do you?
I watched a few episodes. Yeah. I haven't watched it recently.
It's so genius. Carrie Fisher and Ewan McGregor are both going to get stars in the Hollywood Walk of Fame this year. Or is it next year, 2022? But they were announced, they were voted in. I was a little shocked by that. I thought Carrie already had one, you know. But I guess she didn't, so she's going to get one. And, of course, Ewan McGregor plays Obi-Wan Kenobi. So a couple of Star Wars connections there as they get...
And Ming-Na Wen.
Is she getting one, too?
Yeah.
And Norman Reedus. Not Star Wars, but...
Norman Reedus is getting one?
Yep. I was surprised.
Huh.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty popular with The Walking Dead and The Boondock Saints, so...
Someone needs to replace a Donald Trump star. That keeps getting vandalized.
Yeah, it keeps getting torn up.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy is getting their own video game, as announced at E3. It'll be out sometime next year, and they're taking a different approach with this game. It's a story-only game. No online. There's going to be no DLC.
Basically, good.
You buy it, get what you get in the package.
Good.
Wow.
I'm kind of with you, Long. I kind of like that approach, man. Sometimes it's nice just to get a game and play it.
God of War is like that.
God of War. Fallen Order was like that. There was no extra DLC for Fallen Order.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's kind of nice, you know. I don't mind the online element. If it's there, you want to play it, that's great. But if it's not, you don't have to. But it is nice to buy a game and not have to buy a bunch of DLC to complete it, you know. So I think that's pretty cool. Or you do like you did with Spider-Man, where you can pay 10 more bucks for a special edition and get the DLC. That's not so bad. When you start spending $20, $30 extra on top of a $60 game, it's like, come on now.
Yeah.
But it did look good. Lastly, the Mortal Kombat, you know, Warner Brothers does a lot of animation. You know, they've got all the DC animated films, of course. Long Halloween comes out in a couple weeks. We're kind of looking forward to that. They did the Mortal Kombat one last year, and they finally announced they are going to do a sequel called Battle of the Realms. It should be out later this year. So that was pretty good, that Mortal Kombat anime they put out. So, or animation.
Is it on HBO Max?
It might be. The Mortal Kombat Legends. I have to look, check it Revenge. Out. So they are finally going to do a sequel to that. So I thought that was pretty cool. That was going to, they're doing that. Very bloody, the animation. So it definitely stays in the vein of the games. So that's it, man. That's all the news that I got. Not a whole lot this week. A few things. Unless there's something I missed, but I can't think of anything I missed. We're about a month away from Compalooza. Other than that, are going to be there in some form. We're not doing a live show or anything like that, but we might be on a panel. I don't know. I got to get caught up what's going on. I've been a little out of the loop this week, being on vacation. And it's part of my job to know what's going on with the podcast program. So I got to get back in the loop. But let's preview next week's film. as a I'm talking so loud. Thank you, Waverly, for that. You can't hear your show. We've had some Waverly interruptions tonight, but that's okay. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. That is next week's episode.
Eternal beauty and infinite mystery, a legend was born. The story of a warrior, the woman he loved, a daring outlaw. And a princess destined to become a warrior. Pictures Classics proudly presents Chow Yun-Fat, Michelle Yeoh, Zhang Ziyi in an extraordinary romantic adventure. From Ang Lee, the director of Sense and Sensibility, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Man, I've only seen this once or twice. It's been some years since I've watched it. I remember it being really good and really enjoying it. So I'm kind of looking forward to watching it again. I don't know if it's on Netflix or Hulu or anything. I think I have a DVD copy of it somewhere. And you guys have seen this film, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once or twice.
I never did watch that sequel that went to Netflix, though. I heard it was okay. Yeah, it wasn't as well received.
Yeah.
But looking forward to watching this with Chow Yun-Fat, and directed by, who directed? Was it Ang Lee direct? No.
Yeah.
It was Ang Lee director, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely a masterful film. I believe it won Best Foreign Language at the Oscars that year, if I remember right. And so it should be a fun one to rewatch and talk about. And probably more enjoyable martial arts movie than the last one we did. 36 Chamber of Shaolin. That was okay. Yeah. So we all talk like, why did we pick this one? Because it's iconic.
I didn't remember campaigning hard for it either. I just threw it out there.
But. Yeah, you threw it out there and I was like, eh. But you have we have thrown around Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon a few times and I know we've all three, so it'll be a good rewatch. And
I'd rather do Drunken Master.
Oh, yeah.
Legend of Drunken Master would be a good one.
And
yeah.
So that's next week's show, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Thank you for listening this week. The RebelRadioPodcast.com for all your needs, as always. And until next week, be safe. Enjoy some good movies. There's some stuff coming out on Netflix and in theaters here soon. Black Widow getting very positive early reviews as that hits in a few weeks. I'm still not going to pay Disney's Premier Access, so I'll try to go to the theaters and see it. And
yeah.
So that's coming in a few weeks. But until then, this has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long, the Predator.
Hanging out together in the love Adobe over there. Yeah. I know there's things in that camera I can't see, guys. It's okay. Long's whips and chains. Until next week, remember, as always, just go there and do it. Like
and Matt do
Longer
it.
Fixing to do.